Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk college. We're going to talk college football today. We did this before. We have Corey Roberts and Scott Majowski, and they are here for usually always for different reasons, but we get together a couple times a year. You guys follow college basketball? That we could do this during college basketball before the tournament?
Does Virginia Tech have a basketball team?
Women's. We got a good women's team this year, even though a new coach, practically new team. Beat Georgia at home the other night.
Women's basketball is great.
Oh, I'd rather watch women's basketball.
It is. Yes. I mean, they are very skilled.
And actually, you know, I think UVA ought to bring Dawn Staley back to coach the football team.
Oh, I agree. I agree. On Saturday night, I was hoping that by Monday at noon that there would be a new regime or at least a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I read something on the Tech sideline this morning. I didn't really dig into it, but they recently had a big fundraising haul for the athletic department up there.
They
did. And I'm wondering what that's for.
Yeah. No, it was massive, and that just came out. So I don't know, and I haven't looked at it either. Know what all that means, but. What was it? I thought of you on Saturday. And there was no use in even texting you Saturday night because the game was not even close. Virginia Tech, as they always do, Virginia Tech always looks faster and more athletic, and they certainly did Saturday night. And Virginia always gets out coached. Doesn't matter who the coach is on the other side.
Well, I don't. It's the only time, one of the only times I think we out coached somebody this season. It's a disappointing season. Especially when we lost so many games so close in the fourth quarter. And at one time, we were 10 points from being undefeated, from being 6-0.
Yeah.
That's just kind of frustrating. But, you know, they closed out strong. Looks like we have one really healthy quarterback to play in a bowl game, and we'll see what happens.
And they're off to, like, the Pop-Tart Bowl or something.
Pinstripe. Is the most likely.
Oh, okay.
But I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, what happens this weekend in the ACC championship. But I have to tell you, I'm not up. I want SMU to win that game.
Yes.
Because I think they're the better team.
Yes, they've had the better season.
They've had a better season. And unfortunately, I think if they lose it, the selection committee will say, okay, Clemson's in, and then they'll bump SMU to 12. Because it's clear they'll make any excuse to make sure Alabama gets in the playoffs. I don't know whether Miami is the best option. I was reading an ESPN article yesterday, and the guy he just blasted him for it and said, why do we even play the regular season? Why bother? Let's just jump to the playoffs and let Alabama play.
Yeah. Yeah. Happened last year. It's going to happen again, it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm struggling to get excited about the playoff system.
I know.
It has completely shifted college football. I mean, we're now, what, Ohio State's going to has a shot at a national title after getting destroyed in the last week. That's not college football. It never has been.
By a five-loss team.
Yeah. You have to completely change the way we've ever thought about college football and because of the playoff system. And I'm struggling. I'm also an old man now. But I'm struggling to get excited about it and adapt to the change.
No, I look at all the matchups, different, and it all does change, and it'll change again this weekend. But all the potential matchups in the playoff, and it is hard to look at them and get real excited about some of the games.
Yeah, it's. I think I'm a little older than Scott, and I struggle with a lot of stuff, Scott, not just the college football playoffs, but. You know, I think I'd like to see one of the teams that outside of the SEC or the Big Ten win the whole thing.
Yes.
And I don't really care who it is. It just, you know, it can be SMU. It could be Boise. It could, you know, somebody, anybody outside of those two conferences.
Because especially in the Big Ten, and once you get past really Oregon, you've got Penn State. In Ohio State, which just has like you said, Scott, that horrible loss. After that, there are not anybody in the Big Ten that you can look at and say, that's a good team. And it's like that with a lot of these conferences.
You're not buying Indiana?
I am not.
Okay. I know there's a lot of local excitement about Indiana because Aiden Fisher and a couple of other kids.
And Cignetti coming from James Madison as coach in first year.
I just don't just because of their schedule.
Yeah.
And when they played Ohio State, they that wasn't a competitive game.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the – I mean, we all know what differentiates the really dominant programs from everybody else is the depth that they have in their roster. You know, everybody's pretty good in September. And for most cases, most power four or five conference teams can compete with anyone else until the injuries start. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how the Boise's and the Indianas and these other schools who've remained relatively healthy, how do they take the pounding for three straight weeks from an SEC and, SEC and Ohio State?
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State, as bad as they looked against Michigan, is as good as they looked against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first round might be somewhat exciting, but then I'm curious to see how it plays out, because I think the big boys, that's where the depth really shows up, and they end up playing for the championship again, no matter how much we don't want them to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be
and at some point it's going to get boring. And I think ESPN has made an interesting bet here that people are going to keep tuning in when everything's dominated by two conferences.
It is.
It's like NASCAR, you know?
Yeah.
It's
exactly right.
They're going to saturate it with two conferences, and the rest of us are just not going to care.
Yep, that's exactly right. I use that NASCAR analogy a lot. You know, you take something that people liked organically, and you change every single thing about it to try and get more eyeballs, and all of a sudden now nobody cares about it.
Right.
And I'm afraid college football might be headed down that path.
And especially, like you mentioned, Curry, this weekend, when you have a setup where an SMU who's went through the whole ACC schedule and you know, did what they did, and then they can possibly then play for a championship this weekend, lose, and then not be in the tournament.
Right. And I could see the committee do that.
You can easily say it.
There's no way they're going to put two ACC teams in.
No.
So,
no.
You know, they've proven that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lane Kiffin said the quiet part out loud when he was talking about the SEC championship game. He's like, I don't want to be in the SEC championship game. It'll hurt my chances of going to the playoffs. So we've even taken the, you know, you win the SEC, you're King Kong. At least you used to be. Now they don't even want to play in it. Doesn't even matter. It's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that can't be good for the sport.
Well, and Ohio State losing means that they don't play Oregon this week, and it looks like they're still going to get a home game. Now they won't get a bye, and they'll have to play next weekend, but they'll be at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But all this conversation does remind me of my age, and I now want to go home and yell at kids to get off my lawn, because I think I'm just not mentally, cognizantly able to cope with change anymore.
I know. Quick break. We're going to come back and continue this conversation. Scott Majewski, Curry Robertson this morning, talking college football on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Curry Robertson, Scott Majewski in this morning as we talk college football. Since we did this show in September, Curry, I have introduced our friend Scott to ACC football. I took him to a UVA game, so I know, you know, let the jokes begin. Did he really get introduced to ACC football?
How was the traffic?
Jackson was really nice. That was the most surprising. Other than them winning, the lack of traffic going to the stadium was the most surprising part.
Zipped right in and out. Yeah, Scott kept saying this. And I said, this is the great thing.
You sure you have the right weekend, Ted? This can't be right.
You weren't in Morgantown anymore.
No, but I almost didn't do today's show because I'm very mad at Ted. We went to the Boston College game and they won. And at that point, they were what, 5-2?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they had
So I started watching Virginia Tech football now. And and obviously we know how the season ended. And I get enough heartache from West Virginia. I didn't need to add Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it's or UVA. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah,
the end of the season when they beat Pittsburgh, I thought. Maybe.
But then Pittsburgh.
They fell off apart. The map. Yeah. No, I really thought they weren't going to beat Notre Dame, and I thought, well, SMU has to come to Charlottesville. We'll see. And neither game competitive, and the Virginia Tech game wasn't competitive. I will say one thing, Curry. Even though Virginia Tech, record-wise, didn't have a great season, the fans still show up, and that is an amazing thing about Virginia Tech.
Well, when you grow up in Southwest Virginia, you got to make your fun. There's not a lot of competition for things, you know. But and I grew up before somebody calls. I grew up in Bedford, so I get to say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a unique culture.
Yeah.
And I think you have to take a lot of that back to Frank Beamer era and how much interest and how much excitement, and he was there so long and so many. Students went through there, and that was their introduction to Tech football. Unlike mine, I was there in the late 70s, and we didn't win 10 games cumulative in 4 years. So that's part of the enthusiasm and wanting to win and willing to put the time in. And, it's a special game. And
yeah,
we'll show up for special games. The only game I made this year was Georgia Tech, which was not quite a sellout, but was a good game. It was a good game.
In West Virginia now is looking for another coach.
We are looking for another coach. It's always scary. Coaching changes are scary. I'd been wanting him to go for a while, but now that he's gone and you're staring into the abyss and you look at the lack of success people have when they hire new coaches, it's a little scary. And you look at schools. I always look at Nebraska as the cautionary tale. It's not always grass isn't always greener.
No, when they made that change, they haven't been relevant since.
No,
they made that change.
No, not at all. And I think Oklahoma is looking at the same thing.
Yeah,
going to the SEC, they ended up 6-6 this year. So yeah, we're looking for a new coach. There's some big names that are being bandied around. Rich Rod coming back, which I think will never happen.
I can't imagine it would happen. No. After he left, there was so much
anger. If you try and burn Morgantown down on your way out, you're not going to be welcome back. Jimbo Fisher is another big name from Clarksburg.
Did he light a fire to an entire furniture store, or was it just the couch?
Luckily, we had won so many games that year. There weren't many couches to burn, or he'd have burned them.
And I don't think you want Jimbo Fisher, even though he's a big name.
I don't know. I'm actually hoping Ryan Day comes. I know he's on the hot seat in Ohio State.
Yeah, they're upset.
And we don't have the resources or the money that Ohio State does. We can offer them one thing that they can't, is that we will never play Michigan. After Michigan stole our football coach, our basketball coach, and tried to steal our women's soccer coach, we will never play Michigan in a regular season game.
Right. So he could do very well.
He could do very well.
66-10 when you take out Michigan.
When you take out Michigan, right. Yeah, he could do very well there. The problem I have with Ryan Day, and I don't know if you have any public service announcement music, but guys, do not color your beard.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
I've seen, yeah.
It's a very odd-looking man.
Yeah. So Curry, one of the things, it's always interesting to me, South Carolina and having Shane Beamer. I've always thought, he this year has done very well at South Carolina. I'm not a Virginia Tech fan at all, but I always kind of had hoped he would end up in Blacksburg. I don't think that's going to happen. At least not right now.
And this has nothing to do with him. He's had a great season.
Yeah.
He's done a great job at South Carolina. He's probably, if he can string together four or five really good seasons for them, he'll be the first guy in a long time who's done it. And I think he can.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him for never showing interest in the Tech head coaching job. I mean, why would you?
Yeah.
You don't want to come back and
be compared.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're walking into a bad comparison. And, especially under the circumstances that our job became available. You were talking about and he didn't put it this way, but you're really rolling the dice when you go to get a new coach. Look at what happened to us when we hired Justin Fuente.
Oh, everybody thought that was this hire of the year.
I mean, and it looked brilliant.
It did.
On paper, it looked brilliant. The problem is everything about college football changed, and he had coached one way and could not adapt to a new system.
Yeah.
And I think it was unfortunate. I think he's, you know, a good guy, and he tried to run a clean – he ran a clean program, and you respect him for that. But it just he couldn't produce in this era that we've walked into.
And we see in this new era in basketball, Tony Bennett and others have walked away just because they haven't liked the new setup.
You know, I admire him for that.
Yeah.
He's a principled guy.
Yeah.
He's a class act, and he just said, I'm not doing this, you know. This is not why I got it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't end up coaching like a D2 team.
Right, that you go back to where goes, yeah, right, that you're not.
He's coaching and developing kids, which is what he loves to do.
Yeah.
And I could see him doing that just to stay engaged. And I think whoever could talk him into doing that would really benefit their program.
Yeah, I thought it was a sad commentary on college basketball when UVA played Villanova a couple weeks ago. And there's no Tony Bennett and there's no Jay Wright.
Yeah.
Like something's gone wrong.
Yeah. That's a good observation.
Yeah.
And Mike Young's having a tough year. But I could see him calling it quits because he's a very similar personality to Tony Bennett.
And a really good coach.
And not why he got into this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could – we're going to have – well, what's going to happen is we're going to end up with Lane Kiffin types coaching college basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, gunslingers. That's who we're going to end up with.
Well, and we started off in talking about just how the season hasn't been the same. It would be when Alabama got – when you got a second loss – that was it. And now we have, you know, 2 and 3 lost teams. When the great thing about college basketball or college football is every Saturday, you know, you had to somehow win just to continue to be relevant.
Yeah, you had to, exactly.
And now you can lose a few times.
And that's what I was just trying to explain to somebody the other day. Like, before the playoff system, every week was a playoff system.
Yes.
Every week was elimination Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to win. Or if you lost early, okay, then you build. It was this constant success.
Mm-hmm.
Sustained excellence is how you got to play for a national title. And it's just not anymore. Again, hate to keep bringing up Ohio State, but look at Ohio State.
Right. That happens any other time, and that's
it. You're done.
You're dead.
Well, I don't want to be accused of defending Florida State, but look what happened to them last year.
Right.
That's a program in free fall. Yesterday was National Signing Day. They ended up with the 25th ranked class in the country, which they're typically top 10.
I missed that. Oh, wow.
They are an absolute free fall.
Well, but they did it to themselves.
Oh, I'm not sad about it.
Right. And, you know, the other reason I want SMU to win is, you know, everybody says, well, they're new. Why would you want them to win the ACC? Well, because SMU wanted to be in the ACC.
Yes.
Doesn't get any revenue share money. And here's Clemson and Florida State wanting to leave. It's poetic justice.
It totally is.
For the two of them to be left on the outside looking in.
I thought that same thing. And I actually, SMU came to Charlottesville this year. And it was, I had kind of laughed about it the whole time. But having them there, I thought, I kind of like this. They're a good team.
Well, you know, in the 70s, we had it like a 8-year home and home with them, because we were both independents at the time. Neither of us were in conferences. Same reason we always had home and home with West Virginia. West Virginia was before the Big East, and I know on our last show we talked about this, but it'd be fine with me if, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten, they go off and form their own league, and then we can re-scramble back to something.
Yes.
That's more recognizable for the rest of us. You know, create a fourth division.
Yeah.
Yeah, or what would never happen, the NFL needs to create a developmental league like the NBA did with the G League.
Yeah.
Because they're just using college football now for free as their developmental football league. And I don't know that'll ever change, but that would kind of reset the table a little bit and let us get back to something that looks more like normal.
my favorite thing, which is so strange, the ACC network and has all these programs, Legends of the ACC. We had Andrew Luck. And we've had, you know, right. Eric Dickerson. Right.
Tony Dorsett.
Yes. Legends of the ACC.
Michael Vick. They did a Bruce Smith.
Boy, they did.
Yeah.
They did a... they did a one last week with the Barber Brothers that was just fascinating. Oh, yeah. It was really interesting. But you sat there and you watched it and you saw how Virginia football has gone down, because you looked at it and you thought, boy, the George Welch years, he had them at least. They were going to win a national championship, but they went to some interesting bowls, played some good teams, and had some big wins.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we don't have now.
Well, they almost won a national championship.
They did. They were number one
if you – so – a lot of folks.
They lost us that year too.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Wow, that had to hurt.
Yeah, it always does.
I was trying to explain to somebody who's sort of new to college football, but not really, that the whole concept of a national champion is kind of foreign to college football. It was always called the mythical national championship because the writers would just vote at the end of the year.
And sometimes you had split national champions.
Right. And the first sanctioned one, I believe, was 1992 when they created the Bowl Alliance.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been the Big Ten. It's been the SEC. Mm-hmm. And was Nebraska, but not anymore. Prior to that, think about it. You had BYU. You had Georgia Tech. You had Colorado. You had UVA in the mix.
Yeah.
You had more people in the mix. And then when they try and create this sanctioned national champion, all of those schools throughout the years have kind of gotten shuffled aside and we're left with two conferences.
Yeah.
Well, that happened to you all.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Yeah. In 92.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
We were the first victim of the Bowl Alliance.
Right.
At the hands of Florida State.
Yeah.
Another reason not to like them.
Oh, I'm really enjoying the last 2 years of Florida State football.
We're going to take a quick break. Come back. We will talk about the college football tournament that starts. Corey Roberts, Scott Mayowski here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking college football. Scott Mayowski is in along with Corey Roberts. In real life, Corey is with the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance at the University of Mary Washington, and is Scott the Commissioner of the Revenue in Stafford, and we always talk about weighty things, but this is way more fun.
Well, yeah, our day jobs really qualify us to be here doing commentary on college football, but you know, somebody's got to do it.
Well, in the fact that we all know each other, and Curry's a huge Virginia Tech fan. Although I'm really surprised that you just were at one game this year. I thought you went to a bunch of them.
No, you know, I had season tickets for, gosh, I don't know, close to 30 years. In the last couple of years, I had them. I went to a lot of games, but I didn't even sit in my own seats. And then it's just, you know, day job, grandchildren.
Yeah,
you know,
things.
Yeah.
So with the tournament coming up, and at the end we'll give we'll take a shot at who we think is going to win. I am looking forward to next weekend's games, because usually this time of year there's a lull between when the bowls start, and then it takes the bowls a while till they start getting teams that you know. Next weekend will be interesting with some of these games, because I've seen things where it could be you know Tennessee at Ohio State and other things. Those will be interesting.
Yeah, I like the conference championship games. And
I do. This weekend is good.
Yeah,
too.
This is a great weekend.
Yeah,
it is.
It's some really good matchups.
It's funny. Somebody was talking about Army. What a great season Army's having, and how many games they still have left. Army still has 25% of their season left to play.
Yeah, because
they play Navy. They play in their conference championship game, and then they're getting a bowl game bid. So they still have three games left to play, which is interesting.
I never thought of that. Yeah, the Army-Navy game is such a big thing.
Have you ever been to the Army-Navy?
I have not. I would love to go.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I have heard. I've heard the same thing.
Is there any money in the Town Talk budget for us to do a road show? Because I think that would be
that would be a good one. And sometimes I don't know where it's
we
at this year.
We could probably find some sponsors who'd pay to have us leave Town Talk.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it's in Baltimore. So
yeah, we ought to check. We ought to check where it's going to be the next couple. Well, Philadelphia is not a bad trip. You take the train. I mean, it's not.
I mean, if we're not paying, I would go anywhere where they're if it's on TED.
I don't think it's in the budget, but I could.
You mind checking?
I could ask. I could ask. And
are you sure that's legal?
Everything's legal in Virginia. We just have to disclose it.
But no, that is. You watch that game, and it's different. And if you went to either army, you know, if you were either in the military, at Army or Navy, it's a big it's a big deal.
I'm just hoping that both Biden and Trump go. I think that would be a lot of fun. They seem to really get along when they met in the White House a couple weeks ago, so maybe they can road trip up together.
I didn't notice it.
I'm not touching that one.
I didn't see in past years. I know sometimes when Virginia and Virginia Tech have played and had good teams, there's always a big. I didn't notice if the governor went. Usually the governor will go to the Virginia Tech.
Typically,
game.
We do host General Assembly members and the governor, but I didn't hear about it this year. Because it used to be the big thing they would do is the governor would waive all the demerits for the Corps.
Yes.
And you know that clean the slate, and then they can go back to re-earning them. but I haven't seen them do that in a number of years, so I don't know if that's still a thing.
Oh, it just occurred to me now. Go ahead. You were going to say. Something.
Oh, I'm just trying to figure out when UVA and Virginia Tech both had good football teams.
Yeah, it has not happened often. It has not happened often. Speaking of football, and Stafford, Colonial Forge is still alive. They're in the state semifinals this weekend.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. High school football's come a long way since I was a North Stafford grad. So it is exciting.
Where is the semifinal?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Do they play those when it gets to semifinals? Are those on neutral ground?
I don't know. I know the finals are in Richmond, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
the finals are at UR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're on neutral.
Okay.
You're on a neutral field until you get to mm-hmm. the finals, but no, to have it's always exciting to have
it is
teams from here
yeah.
get that far. So who do we think is going to win the national championship?
Well, I think Scott made a very good point about depth, and you know I think the team nobody's really talking about is Penn State, and. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how they do with Oregon, because if there's a defense that can do something with Oregon, it might beat Penn State.
Yeah, I've said I thought that they would win.
So it would not surprise me to see Penn State in the finals.
Well, I feel like we're looking.
Well, you're the only one that really watched Penn State this year.
Well, yeah.
You almost went to that game.
Yeah, thank goodness I didn't. Would have been the worst 4.5-hour drive back I've had in a long time. They look good. I'm really impressed with Texas. And I thought Texas and Oklahoma were making a horrible mistake going to the SEC. I think Oklahoma made a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
I think, ironically, Texas is going to just explode in the SEC. You've got one of the highest profile glamour teams that I really believe now is being held back by being in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But now that they're on that big stage, I think they are just going to be a monster for years to come, and I think they've got a really good shot at winning it this year.
And next year Arch Manning will be their quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz nobody's going to be able to buy him away from Texas.
Yeah. I think, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think ever since they lost early on with a huge upset, I think Notre Dame has played well.
They have. They have played well, but I question whether they've got the depth.
Yes.
But you watched the Virginia game.
Yeah.
But I don't know that would have tested their depth.
No.
And that's not a criticism. No. It's just, you know, the only real head-to-head any of us I haven't paid a lot of attention to Notre Dame.
I just have because the games haven't been close, and there were a number of games I thought this might be close, and they've won so easily. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I'm not a fan.
They walked over Southern Cal, didn't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah, they're one of those teams. They're so overrated every year.
Yeah.
I don't know how to judge them.
I know.
They might be great, or they might be overrated again. I have absolutely no idea. But we'll find out soon enough. But yeah, I think Texas is a giant waiting to emerge.
No, they've been hovering around. They were in the playoffs last year, and you know, I can see them. I can see them going deep. Did you either one of you see that Georgia Tech game last Friday night?
Well, I saw part of the game, and then about the third overtime, I just.
I did too.
I must have fallen asleep.
I did. I didn't see the end either.
Goes back to being old again.
Yeah, I did too.
There's a theme.
But I thought as good a game, and then it was exciting and in all of that. But I don't know the college overtime system there because you got so deep into it, then it became you know, you had to go. It was everything was a 2-point conversion, and I don't know. I didn't like I have liked the college overtime system, but in this case, when you start getting so deep into it and they change the rules, I don't know. I'd almost rather you get the ball at the 50 and have to go farther than where you get it at the 25.
Yeah, I have not really seen one go that far. That I didn't even know it ended in a 2-point conversion at some point. I've never seen one go.
Yeah,
that
we
far.
Did. We had that with North Carolina, and I'm trying to remember which year. I think it was Justin Fuente's first year. I think we went to 5 or 6 overtimes.
Yeah.
With North Carolina. And yeah, you get I think it's after the fourth is when you start going to the 2-point. You just everything's 2 points.
Everything's yeah.
I think that and soccer's penalty kick are the two most exciting playoff or tie-breaking systems in all of sports. I think college nailed it. I think the NFL's tiebreaker is awful.
Yep.
It tried to make it better, but it's confusing. You can't top the excitement of college football. Over time.
You know, I do like the change the NFL made on kickoffs. I think that's probably held back, and I think college ought to look at the same thing because a lot of that's where you get hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, the flying wedge.
Yeah, very high percentage of injuries are on something that's typically pretty meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
So are the Commanders done winning?
No. In fact, I'm concerned that they're going to I think they're a lock for the playoffs just because they don't other than the Eagles, I don't know that they have that difficult of a schedule.
And they finally got a break. You know.
Yeah.
They survived for so long and then they finally got a bye this weekend, so it'll be good. But we digress. So who'd you pick?
Texas.
You took Notre Dame.
I picked Notre Dame.
And I took Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which probably means it'll be Oregon because we all have an East Coast bias.
There would be an East Coast bias, yes.
And I think they've won 12 straight games. Are they undefeated?
Yes. They're the only one undefeated. But I am too looking forward to it. I think the Penn State game will be a good,
it'll be
a good barometer.
Right.
They beat Ohio State by a point out there. And
you know, this is one of the things that I enjoyed about the Georgia Tech game. We beat Georgia Tech in Blacksburg, and then they go down in their rivalry game in Georgia and force Georgia to go to 8 overtimes. And Georgia's in the playoffs.
Right.
Go figure.
Yeah.
You're still dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And you're going to get the vagaries of what happens with 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids.
And you talk about that all the time. That you do have to sometimes realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel bad now when I'm yelling at the TV and one of these kids takes their helmets off. And I'm like, oh, he's just a kid. Like, I can't believe I said that about him.
and to us, he actually looks 15.
Right.
Well, I thought it was so interesting that the Virginia quarterback who'd started every game and who had digressed through was just terrible at the end of the season. So they sat him for the Virginia Tech game, and then the next day he entered the portal.
Well, the gossip was he told them the week before the game he was going to enter the portal.
Yeah, I have heard that. And I think that's what, if and that's true, that's why they that, said.
That's why he said.
It's an interesting strategy.
But to show you how much how the sideline reporters don't know what they're talking about, all through the first half that I watched of the game, the sideline reporter for the ACC network, and sometime we need to talk about the ACC network and the commercials and just the horrible production that you get from that network. But the sideline reporter kept saying how they would show Calandria and they would just say he's encouraging his teammates and he might not be playing, but the reporter said, I talked to him and he's here to encourage them on and he's showing leadership.
On his way out the door.
Right. Yeah, a few hours later.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's texting his agent trying to get the best NIL deal at another school.
Right. Which I had said by the end of the season that instead of playing at UVA, he belonged at Randolph-Macon. That's where he can. That's where he'll go. Oh, it was just.
Ooh, ouch. Wow. I didn't think it was that bad.
But the whole portal thing has just, it's so changed. I guess, if you get some good guys from the portal, all of a sudden, it's not quite so bad.
Well, I heard at a conference last year, Joe Theismann was the luncheon speaker. And somebody asked him about NIL.
Yeah.
And he said, that'll sort itself out over time. They'll ultimately have to put caps on that it'll sort itself. It's like you got payroll caps in virtually every pro sport. You're going to get to that at some point. You're going to have to. He said transfer portal was going to do more to damage college football than NIL
I think
money.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about recruiting classes and what a gamble they are, because you just never know. You're recruiting 17, 18-year-old kids. You don't know if they can play or not. The transfer portals become more important than signing day, because now you can go get kids who have proven themselves on the Division I level and pay them to come to your school. And that takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. I think a lot of the schools with the big money are going to, be able to buy those players and not miss on them. And that was always the thing with Texas.
Yeah.
Always have the top one or two recruiting class and never win because they couldn't evaluate talent at the high school level. Well, they don't have to do it at the high school level now. All they have to look is, did this kid play at K-State? Yeah, he was great at K-State. Well, then he can probably play here. And they go out and get him.
The risk with that, though, go back to Florida State last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys all left. You got to try to do it again. You can still miss. Somebody that looks really good as a freshman could stink as a sophomore, right? The sophomore slump is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are risks with relying that heavily just on the transfer portal. And I kind of like how Brent Pry is going about it. He's still going out and recruiting high school kids that they think they can coach up, which is sort of the Frank Beamer model. And then he simply plugs some holes in the portal. He's not wholesalely turning his team over. He's trying to do both. And I think long term, that is the best strategy. We talked a little bit earlier about Tony Bennett. Frank Beamer couldn't succeed in this system.
Right.
Because his ability and his assistant's ability, until he had Michael Vick, I don't think he had a four-star recruit. And yet he could evaluate talent on who he could coach up and develop over 3 to 4 years, and it succeeded. Well, you don't get 3 to 4 years now to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see back to Indiana and Frank Cignetti. That's where he makes his money.
Yeah.
Is developing these kids.
Yep.
And is he going to change his style? If he does, will he have any success? Or will he have enough Big Ten money to build these kids up and develop them and then keep them?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch.
It's going to be very interesting to watch them.
But it's hard to argue with the success this year. But he just, JMU had a great team last year, and he was able to take a bunch of those kids with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I like it.
And he was West Virginia's quarterback, and we didn't hire him.
And when Virginia was looking for Tony Elliott's, or when the year they hired Tony Elliott, they didn't even
interview
him.
Yeah.
Right over at JMU.
Yeah, his press conference when he got the job at Indiana was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
It was. And I thought, what's he talking about?
I win. I'm a winner. Yeah. Well, look it up.
Quick break. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Curry Robertson, Scott Mayowski here.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking college football. Curry Robertson, Scott Mayowski here this morning. Again, it'll be interesting to watch the playoffs to see if either Texas or you at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Or Notre Dame.
Are we making like a bet? Do we win anything, Ted?
No, I don't think so.
Like, there's nothing in the prize clause that you can give us.
I can probably find a pencil or a frisbee. we can do that.
Frisbee. I don't have a frisbee, and I've got grandkids. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in on the frisbee.
So when one of the we talk about people going into the portal and transferring, mm-hmm. and in some cases I know some players go in and. They don't find it. They not everybody wants them. You know, then you go into the portal and Alabama's not always interested in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have to wonder, do their coaches really want them back if they went into the portal?
I don't think so.
You know, maybe loyalty doesn't mean anything anymore, but it should.
Yeah.
It should, but it wouldn't inspire me if it was one of our, you know, if it was a couple of tech players.
If you did one of that,
you don't want to be here, don't be here.
Right. Yeah. Go on. We'll figure it out.
Right.
Yeah, there have been a lot of studies that have tracked some of these players that have left, and it's not always, it doesn't always work out the way they think that it's going to work out.
Yeah.
And sadly, for the schools that have to develop players, there doesn't appear to be any loyalty at all.
No.
Mm-mm. You know, we've had walk-ons that we've coached up into Big 12 performers and leave the first chance that they get to go to a bigger school with a bigger paycheck, which I understand. But again, the loyalty, I think, is gone in sports.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I did enjoy watching North Carolina women beat Kentucky last night because that's where Kenny Brooks went. Who was the Tech women's coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a great job for us. It was how he left that's still a little galling. And it was so different than when we hired Megan Duffy from Marquette. She came to Blacksburg, did a press conference, and was effusive about how well she was treated at Marquette,
yeah,
and how appreciative she was of the fans and the president of the university and all that. Kenny Brooks shows up at Kentucky, never says a word, never says thank you, you know,
yeah.
I could keep going. Didn't do any of that. And it really showed a little bit of a lack of class, which I think is what shocked, you know, our fans so much. Unfortunately, they also threw some rocks at Georgia Amore. I don't blame her. She came to the U.S. to play for him.
Yeah.
And I get it. And she did a great job for us. She's a great kid. She's a great leader. I wish her nothing but the best. But Kenny didn't show a lot of class on the way out the door.
Well, I think we talked about Rich Rodriguez earlier. And it's just,
well, there's the poster child not showing the class.
It just proves the old saying, be careful how you leave because you might need to come back.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to leave the right way.
And he was an alum.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most, you know, fascinating thing to me.
I mean, not only an alum, his family is. He's a West Virginia family. It was just shocking. But, yeah, didn't leave the right way, wants to come back, and the door's not going to be open for him.
So who do you think they'll hire? You have any ideas?
Or I don't.
Who you'd like?
I don't. I would really like to see what Jimbo Fisher can do.
Yeah.
We actually had Jimbo Fisher agree to coach when Rich Rodriguez left. We had a national championship caliber team. He was the coach in waiting at Florida State, and he had agreed to come. And he changed his mind when Governor Jim Manchin got in the middle of the contract negotiations. He's thinking, if I'm having to negotiate my contract with the governor of the state, I want nothing to do with this job.
Before you better go back, there's couple of good articles about how Jimbo lost his locker room at Florida State because he wouldn't discipline Jameis Winston.
We are out of time. Thank you both. Scott Mayowski, Curry Roberts, till next time.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk. Go on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.
I'm Bob Sizemore, retired pastor of Fairview Baptist Church.